Hello, everybody, and welcome. We're here for a CMDS bonus call, and I'm really super excited about this. And it's with Kimberly Ward, who's one of our nutritional endocrinology students, practitioners, and she also is a trauma healing specialist. She's a transpersonal energy healing counselor?
I don't even know what her therapist.
Yeah, therapist. She has a massage therapy license, and she's a health coach. So she's got a lot of. She's one of these folks that likes to learn a lot and collect certifications. So yeah, she puts them all to good use. She was a coach in our Energy Recharge Inner Circle for a year at least, maybe two, and she did a phenomenal job with the people that worked with her. So I'm really excited to have her here to talk about the role of trauma and those emotional things that happen when you have trauma on gut health. And so we've learned a lot of great skills from looking at people's guts, for making sure that they have the right microbiome and enzymes and that they chew their food. But one of the things that we don't look at, I don't think enough, is the role of the emotions and trauma has on gut microflora and the way the gut functions. So Kimberly is here to elucidate on that and enlighten us about that so we could truly be holistically working with our clients. Not just about the food, it's not just about the chewing, it's not just about stress. There are other things that go into it as well. So without further ado, I am going to let Kimberly do her thing. And during this presentation, I'd appreciate if everybody just keeps their videos off. And at the end, when we open up for questions, then you can open up your videos and ask Kimberly questions. So I'm going to let you take it away, Kimberly.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie. I appreciate it. I'm so excited to be here with you to share this information. I've been a health coach for a long, long time, many years. I was a body worker. I was a home birth midwife. I've done health coaching for many years, and I got to the point where I was realizing that so many of my clients were compliant in the strategies that we were suggesting, and they still weren't getting to the level of health that they wanted. And that's when I started to explore the effects of trauma on our physiology. And so I've got a couple different somatic-based trauma certifications. And more recently, I've been so thrilled and lucky to work with Laura Fine and learn her work. And I've used those techniques and Laura's techniques in conjunction with the nutritional endocrinology and the functional nutrition therapy. And I've had drastic changes in my clients since incorporating this work. So I'm so grateful to Dr. Rita Marie for putting together our newest certification program, the Transpersonal Energy Healing, because I think for you as health coaches, it's going to be a really important missing piece to get to the root cause of your clients' issues. So I kind of would like to focus on today, those clients that are being compliant and doing everything and still not getting the results, because what I really want you to keep in mind is the possibility that stress, what I call toxic stress or trauma, is at the root of their gut issue, specifically the dysbiosis. And honestly, SIBO is probably one of the hardest things that you'll come across and that you'll want to be supporting your clients with. And I feel like in my practice, understanding trauma and utilizing some of these other techniques outside of the basic protocol has really made a difference for those clients. So I know you have tons of great information already that Dr. Rita Marie has provided in the CMDS program. I've gone through the slides. I know specifically a lot of what I'm going to talk about relating to the vagus nerve, you have tons of information on already. So I really would like to focus more on trauma. I want to give you a definition of stress versus trauma, talk about what happens, the physiology of the stress response in the body, and then we'll bring it into how it affects the vagus nerve and then therefore the gut. All right.
Awesome. So I'm going to turn my video off so that I don't distract people and you can take it away.
Awesome. All right. So I'm sharing my screen here and I'm hoping that you guys can see that. And of course, doing my due diligence and learning what I've learned from Dr. Rita Marie, I know that I need to spend a few minutes here on my medical disclaimer that the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not intended as medical advice. And it is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from my research, from Dr. Rita Marie. And we encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based on your research in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. All right. So again, during the presentation, what I'm hoping.
Before you get too far, I'm just wondering if there's a way to click on show slides that shows the slide full screen rather than showing. Yes. I don't know Mac, so it looks like a Mac.
Will that work?
Go. Perfect.
All right. Thank you. All right. So again, what I want to do is help you have a better understanding of the stress response system and really understand the difference between stress versus trauma, how it impacts the gut microbiome, and then how to support your clients in healing a trauma-based gut dysbiosis. So let's define what is stress. The stress response system is something that every organism has at some level or another. We all, in having a physical being that we live in, have some sort of mechanism that helps us to distinguish if something around us in our environment is threatening. Sometimes we perceive something as threatening, but it's not really threatening, but it doesn't matter because our body's going to respond whether it's a real or a perceived threat. Our autonomic nervous system has mechanisms in place where we are alerted to a potential threat before we can even think about it. It really is a body-based response. It's incredibly fast. And it is designed for short-term threats. So we all have the system. You've heard of the fight or flight system, the sympathetic branch of the nervous system. Every organism has some way of sensing stress and tension in their environment. A threat in the environment triggers this response, and it should be fairly quick. Lots of different kinds of stress. In nature, we're looking at pretty simple things like a predator, right? But in the life that we live in this Western world, in our modern world, we have a lot of stressors, things that threaten us, right? There's physical stressors, so we have accidents and we have injuries. We might have a natural disaster, a fire, a flood. Then there's a whole lot of chemical stress or toxic stress that we're exposed to. We have environmental toxins from glyphosates, from pesticides. We have EMFs and Wi-Fi that we get exposed to that is an actual chemical or toxic stress to our system. We have things like mold that we have to deal with, parasites and other infections that invade our body that can cause this stress response. And then, of course, there's emotional stress. So we have finances, we have relational stress, we have teenagers, we have lots of different stressors in our world that on an emotional level. All of these things can trigger the fight or flight response in our system via the autonomic nervous system. But then again, it's a short-term response. So it should be that once the threat has passed, then we secrete these hormones that put us into a parasympathetic response, which is rest and digest. So we have this cycle that's this normal charge and discharge cycle of hormones and neurotransmitters within our system that when it's running smoothly, it's a very efficient system for short-term stressors that go away. Of course, unfortunately, most of us live in a very high stress environment where these stressors don't go away, right? So that's a little bit different. What I'm talking about here is just the normal charge and discharge. There is this cycle. If we get to complete the charge, we move up into this charge of, oh, there's a threat. We have fight or flight response. We have the ability to fight or to flee. We're mobilized into action to protect ourselves. And then the threat goes away. And either we're dead, the threat killed us, or the threat goes away and we calm back down into parasympathetic rest and digest. And we have this completion of this process. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Trauma is when we reach overwhelm. Okay, so you can see in this picture, this predator got its prey, and this prey no longer can flee. It can no longer fight. It is overwhelmed into no more action. It turns into what we call an immobility response. It's a drastic freeze response. It's a massive parasympathetic response where we kind of shut down and we dissociate. So again, I want to differentiate. Stress is a threat, but trauma is when we get to the point where we don't get to say no and our system is totally overwhelmed. And so all we have left to do is go into freeze. So animals will play dead and humans will go into shock, right? We go into this shutdown response because we don't have any other choices available to us. There are different types of trauma that I want to define for you because people have different ideas of what trauma is. So let's first talk about shock or event trauma. So this is a one-time trauma that could be an accident that was so overwhelming that you're stuck and you can't gain control of the situation. It could have been a tsunami or some other type of natural disaster, a one-time event. It could be a rape. It could be a school shooting, something where it was one isolated event that was incredibly traumatizing. I know I work with a lot of vets with PTSD, and they often think of their problem as around one event or a handful of events that they experienced during war. And it is true that those events cause trauma. The big problem usually comes from not one event, but repeated events. So rather, it doesn't matter if the event is a small stressor that's repeated a lot, or one event that was a big deal that happened in the system, both types of trauma can completely dysregulate our system, which is what we're going to get into a little bit deeper in a moment. But I don't think that most of us consider the small, repeated, or chronic stressors as trauma in our system. We think of a rape or as a shooting as a big trauma. We don't often understand that the reality is a lot of little repeated stressors or chronic stressors can have a huge impact on our system, just like one event trauma can. And then we have early childhood trauma. Now, I'm not sure how much all of you know about the ACEs study. The ACEs study was done in the 1990s by the CDC and by Kaiser Permanente. And what it showed was the direct correlation between adverse childhood experiences, which is what ACEs stands for. There's a direct correlation between adverse childhood experiences and adult physical symptoms, emotional, mental, physical problems. And this is a big deal because most of us can intuitively know that childhood issues can cause adult issues, but this is a big deal for Western medicine and for science to have a direct causation and correlation from early childhood trauma to disease in adulthood. And the ACEs study, I will take just a minute in case some of you might not be familiar with it, but what the ACEs study did was it asked 10 questions, and these 10 questions were measuring the following. We're looking at physical, sexual, or verbal abuse, physical and emotional neglect, a family member who's depressed or diagnosed with mental illness, a family member who's addicted to alcohol or other substance, or a family member in prison, witnessing a mother or mother figure being abused, or losing a parent to separation, divorce, or for other reasons. So you look at these, there's 10 questions, and you get 1 point for each of the questions. So each type of trauma, each question counts for 1 point, no matter how many times it happened. So for instance, if you saw your mother get beat up only once, you still get 1 point. Whether you saw her beat up once or 10 times, it's still 1 point. And the significant statistics that came out of this study, and there have been many, many studies since kind of proving and backing up the original statistics, but there's 5 main discoveries that are really important for us to understand around childhood trauma, and that is that ACEs are actually very, very common. About 67% of us adults have at least one adverse childhood experience, and they can be the actual cause of adult onset chronic diseases like heart disease, cancer, mental illness, and you have a higher likelihood of violence or being a victim of violence the higher your ACEs score. Another thing we found out was that ACEs don't usually occur alone. If you have one ACE, there's a chance that you, an 87% chance that you'll have more than one ACE. Another thing that we found out was that the more ACEs you have, the greater risk you are for chronic disease. So you have a higher risk for smoking. Actually, people with an ACEs score of 4 or higher are twice as likely to be smokers, 7 times more likely to be alcoholic. Having an ACE score of 4 increases your risk of emphysema, chronic bronchitis by nearly 400%. And get this, if you have an ACEs score of 4 or higher, you have a suicide rate that increases by 1,200%. So that's pretty scary. People with a high ACE score are also more likely to be violent, have more marriages, more broken bones, more drug prescriptions, more depression, and more autoimmune disease. And people with an ACE score of 6 or higher are at risk of their lifespan being shortened by 20 years. So I think that this is so helpful for us as practitioners to know that early childhood experiences, adverse childhood experiences, absolutely have a direct impact of our health later on. In fact, one of the most important findings of the study is that childhood adversity contributes to most of our major chronic health, mental health, economic health, and social health issues. So if you are not familiar with the ACEs study, I highly recommend you go look at that. And my favorite website is called acestoohigh.com. And I believe that's in the back of my presentation under resources that you can find that website. But it's significant because when we as children encounter adversity, excessive stress hormones cause powerful changes in the body, right? And our developmental state is so young. We're still developing. Our brain and our nervous system and our immune system is still being developed. And so the adverse childhood experiences really alter our chemistry. Our developing immune system and brain react to these chemical changes permanently. They say permanently, yet we all know that there is neuroplasticity and that we can change and we can heal. But the bottom line is early childhood trauma has devastating impact on our mental health and our physical health. So again, the types of trauma that your client might have had could be a shock or event trauma. It could be repeated stressors or chronic stressors that they're dealing with their life currently, or it could have been past early childhood trauma. So let's review the physiology of trauma for a few minutes here. It's really about the autonomic nervous system. It's in the entire body. It's not just the brain. And trauma is not in the event. Trauma is found in our physiology because it's really how we respond to the event that matters more than the event itself. Another thing that's important to understand about the physiology of trauma is that trauma actually can change our genetic expression, right? There's something called generational trauma that I'm really fascinated with that we know from Holocaust survivors that and their offspring that the epigenetic changes of the Holocaust survivors are shown up in their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. So we know a couple generations of humans can actually carry the genetic changes due to trauma. We know in mice, I believe it's 17 generations that we can see that trauma is passed on. Now, you all know that, hopefully, no, I think from all of the work of Dr. Reed Murray and all of the education you're getting is that our genes aren't everything. The genetic expression can be changed by our environment and our behaviors. And so that's the good news, is that we can change the pattern that our parents or grandparents have been in, and we can change it so that we don't pass it down to our children. The vagus nerve is the big player here in the physiology of trauma. I know you guys have some great resources with some details on the vagus nerve, but I will go over a little bit about the vagus nerve, and we'll talk about how it's affecting our physiology, specifically regarding the gut microbiome. The vagus nerve is the longest nerve of the autonomic nervous system, and it's important in the parasympathetic and the sympathetic function. All right. The vagus nerve is the 10th cranial nerve, and it's called the vagus nerve. Vagus means wandering because it does wander throughout the body, and it's found all throughout the organs and through the gut. It's a really big player in the gut-brain connection. It's bidirectional, meaning it gives information from the brain to the body and also from the body to the brain, and it's regulating digestion, again, a major component of the gut-brain connection. And there's two major parasympathetic branches here to the vagus nerve that I want to talk about, and there's three circuits in the system. So what I want to talk about next is the polyvagal theory, and this is a term created by Dr. Stephen Porges, who really came up with this concept and really helped us to understand this these different pathways of the parasympathetic system. And a basic idea of this is that the way that we adapt to understanding safety, a dangerous situation, or a life-threatening situation is based on how our nervous system evolved. The most modern way that we feel safe or start to sense danger is called the social engagement system. And this is part of the ventral vagus complex. Okay. Below that is our a little bit older system, sympathetic response. And this is also very correlated with our adrenal function. And this helps us move into action, the sympathetic fight or flight response. And then the lowest or earliest response that we have is a very primitive response, and this is the freeze response. This is the most ancient, and it's the dorsal portion of our vagus nerve. So let's talk about the first part, the social engagement system. And this is important for us as practitioners because this is one tool that we have. Just by being with our clients, we can help promote healing. This social engagement system, again, is the ventral vagal complex, and it's connection. It's feeling safe, and it's being able to orient to our environment. Again, the newest branch of the vagus nerve, there's lots of insulation. It's myelinated. So there's lots of insulation around these nerves, which means it can be more efficient and things can happen very quickly within this part of the nervous system. It increases things in our system like digestion, intestinal motility, resilience to infection. I'm sorry, I have lots of typos in this, but our immune response is increased, right? We feel healthy and vital. Oxytocin flow is better. And when oxytocin is there, it allows us to be calm without being fearful. And it helps us have the ability to relate and connect to each other. These nerves actually have a lot to do with our facial movements, and in our inner ear allows us to hear the different tones in the voice of our caregivers. We can see the expression in the face and hear the tone in the voice, and we can tell through those signals whether we're safe or not. If this response is decreased, we have more of a defensive response. If we increase or support this part of our vagal complex, we feel safer. Okay, so what that looks like when we're in this place of social engagement, we're calm but alert, we're able to stay in the present moment, we're very grounded, we're settled, we feel compassionate and mindful. And when we're in this place and we feel safe, healing can happen. And because I said the vagus nerve is innervated into these areas in the face, we can look at someone with compassion, use a kind tone to our voice, and help trigger this response in them. So again, as therapists and practitioners, just by being with our client when they're feeling overwhelmed, we can help shift them into this place of safety just with our voice and the look on our face, okay? If we are in a place where we're threatened, but we have this safe social engagement system, we can recover from the threat much easier. If we're in a situation where we're threatened and we can't resolve it within this system, we move to the next system, which is the sympathetic system. This is fight or flight. And what this system does is it allows us to be mobile. It allows us to move either towards or away from the threat. Okay, again, it's a fight or flight sympathetic system. It's a newer set of response, and it allows us to take action. Now, we need the sympathetic system even if we're not being threatened, right? Because it gives us the ability to move and take action and do things that we need to do in the world, right? This system allows us to have higher blood pressure. It helps us with our heart rate, fuel availability, adrenaline, oxygen circulation, blood clotting, pupil size, dilation of the bronchial. It helps us with our defensive responses. If this is decreased, if our sympathetic system is not working well and it's decreased, we have problems with fuel storage, insulin activity. We have problems with digestion, salivation, rational ability. We don't think as well. And our immune response is compromised. What does it look like when we're stuck in this sympathetic system? Panic, fear, worry, concern, rage, anger, irritation, frustration. I call these hot symptoms because we're very activated. We can take action. Our thoughts can be very quick, and we can feel a little bit anxious. Now, this can be good to help us take action in the world, but again, this is designed to be short term, all right? So if we're in fight or flight, and we can't resolve the threat, we can't say no to a threat coming at us, now we've shifted into an actual trauma, and we're moving into the freeze response, which again is the most primitive part of our nervous system. It's the dorsal vagal complex, and this is not the healthy parasympathetic response of the social engagement where we can heal. This is where we move into freeze mode and play dead, and we try and conserve our resources here. So healing doesn't happen from this freeze place. And it's the most primitive, oldest branch. They're unmyelinated, so there's no insulation on these nerves. It's less efficient. What happens when we're in this mode is that we increase our fuel storage. Things shut down a little bit. Our insulin activity goes down, where our immobilization behavior shows up. We shut down and we freeze because we're so overwhelmed, we play dead, okay? It helps us to feel numb, and it helps us. It's actually a great response. If you've been injured, we'll go into shock, and we don't feel the pain as much because it helps us manage the pain threshold. And it's a conservation mode, so all of our metabolic resources are in conservation. So we have a decreased heart rate, decreased blood pressure, decreased temperature, muscle tone is decreased. Facial expressions can be very flat. Our depth of our breath is decreased. Social behavior is low. Attunement to the human voice. We don't catch and understand the different meanings in the tone of voice. And of course, we're not sexual beings. Our immune response is down because we're worried about death. We're worried about dying. So we're totally shut down. I call these cold symptoms. And it might seem, on the outside, it might seem like this is very underactive because you look very flat and shut down and dissociated and you're slow. However, it takes a lot of energy to stay here. It takes a lot of energy to play dead. So you're expending energy at the same time you're trying to conserve energy and play dead. So it's a really complicated thing in the body. What it looks like on the outside is dissociation, numbness, depression, helplessness, shame, we're shut down. We're trapped, and we're literally preparing to die in this freeze mode. So I wanted you to understand there's healthy parasympathetic response in that social engagement. This is where we want to be. This is where healing happens, rest and digest. But once we move from the healthy place because we notice a threat, we move into sympathetic, fight or flight, and then if we're not able to manage and get out of the situation from that point and go back to calm, we move into freeze. Okay, so if we're traumatized, what's happening is we're in freeze. We're in the freeze mode. Okay. It looked like someone had a question in the chat. I'm not sure if I should address that or if I should just keep going because I don't have access to the chat when I'm in this mode. So Rita Marie, just chime in if you need me to slow down.
You're nope. Good.
I think we're good. Yep. We're
okay. Good. Awesome. Okay, so here's the problem, all right? The problem is that the repeated stressors and the trauma can dysregulate our system, okay? We can get stuck in this permanent fight or flight mode, which is not the way our system is designed. It's a temporary system that we should then be able to, once the threat has been resolved, we move back into the social engagement, rest and digest place. So we can be stuck in fight or flight, or we can get stuck in freeze. Both is a problem. We should, a healthy person who's not overwhelmed with trauma or stress, has what we call autonomic nervous system poise. We can gracefully move between this sympathetic response and a parasympathetic response as needed. We can move back and forth really gracefully. But what happens with stress and trauma is that we can get stuck in one or the other, or we can kind of end up bouncing back and forth. Now, I often see people that were diagnosed with bipolar, what's really happening is they're stuck in trauma. And what they're doing is they're moving from that hot symptom of sympathetic down into the freeze, the cold symptoms of the freeze, parasympathetic. They're moving back and forth, and it appears that they're bipolar. And none of the treatments work because it's not bipolar. It's a trauma response, and they need some help regulating their nervous system. So big problems arise when our nervous system, when our autonomic nervous system isn't regulated, because the autonomic nervous system plays a major role in every system of the body. And it micromanages the interrelation of all of these systems of the body. Okay. I could list all of the systems for you. But I know that you know them. There's the cardiovascular system, the digestive system, the immune system, the endocrine system, the integumentary system, the reproductive system. Every system in the body depends on the autonomic nervous system and the health of the autonomic nervous system to function well. Okay. So that was kind of my attempt to give you a big picture of the stress response and how we're designed to manage stress, and how we move from this healthy, calm state of social engagement in the parasympathetic rest and digest. We move into fight or flight. If we can't solve the problem in this state, we physiologically move into fight or flight. Normally, the ideal would be the problem is resolved, we shake it off, we let go of the tension and the overwhelm and the stress, and we move back into the calm state. If we can't resolve it, we then move into freeze. We can get stuck in freeze. We can get stuck in the sympathetic response. It's both. We don't want to be stuck in either one. We want to have poise. We want to be able to move between the two gracefully, as needed. But most of us are dealing with some sort of dysregulation, and it often shows up physiologically in the gut. Okay. So the big problem here is it's a vicious, vicious cycle. This stress gut cycle is incredibly challenging. Chronic activation of the sympathetic response. We all know from our education with Dr. Rita Marie, the HPA access, right? The hypothalamic pituitary adrenal access can be incredibly dysregulated from stress. But we can also have disruption from the parasympathetic freeze response, and we can have a parasympathetic dominance as well. Neither one is good, and both of them can affect the gut. We talked about earlier that this connection between the gut and the brain goes both ways. So the unfortunate thing is that the gut bacteria actually, or the gut environment, can cause the stress response. The stress response can cause gut problems. Stress from the outside can cause problems in our physiology that induces gut issues, but also the gut itself can be turning on the stress response in our body. Okay, so we can have things like gut bacteria that induce this sympathetic response in the body because it produces LPS, or like lipopolysaccharides, which causes inflammation, specifically causes inflammation in the nervous system. So that internal stress can cause the internal signaling from these lipopolysaccharides can turn on the stress response system. Okay. And then also the external stress can turn on the stress response system, and then that can cause problems with the gut. So the gut microbes also produce several hormones and neurotransmitters that can alter the HPA axis that further cause disruption to the system, right? The hormones produced during stress can adversely impact the balance of microbiome, causing gut dysbiosis. And so again, this is just a really vicious cycle because one can affect the other and we can get caught up. And so it can be really hard to get to the root of the problem when we're stuck in this cycle. Okay. I don't have a lot of slides on this. I have one slide that talks a lot about the physiology of the trauma, specifically with the microbiome, but there's a lot of amazing research on this that I provided at the end of the presentation. There's some links that you can look at. But I think the big message is, again, about the vagus nerve. Really, the vagus nerve is the main nerve of the parasympathetic system. And the vagus nerve fibers can actually reduce digestive inflammation and reduce intestinal permeability by the tight junctions. The actions of the vagus nerve can indirectly modulate the microbiota composition. So the microbiota is a key player in the control of the gut-brain axis. So again, we have this this cycle that we can get into this really bad cycle where our stress is affecting our microbiome, and then our microbiome is affecting our stress level. Here's the details of what happens. The trauma reduces gastric acid production, which can lead to a larger, if you just give me just 1 second, I've got to move sorry about that. I had to move something out of the way because I couldn't read my slides. That reduces the gastric acid production, which leads to a larger amount of bacteria passing through the stomach into the small intestines, which we all know can cause dysbiosis. Trauma can impair the GI motility, and it directly inhibits the migrating motor complex. It provokes blood sugar swings because we all know that cortisol and insulin have this relationship, right? And when we have stress hormones like cortisol in place, our blood sugar is harder to manage, and it can lead to overeating and snacking that further inhibits this migrating motor complex. Trauma reduces the mucosal immunity because it can decrease the secretory IgA, which is that important immunoglobulin that helps us to maintain immune function and healthy mucosal membranes. Trauma enhances bacterial growth and viral infections. Here's the big deal also. Trauma can promote biofilm production. So you guys know that biofilm is really challenging. If we have a lot of biofilm, then a lot of times our treatment protocol doesn't work very well. So we're using all these amazing tools that are antiviral, antibacterial, anti-candida protocol, and it doesn't work because these buggers are hiding underneath those biofilm, and trauma can promote this biofilm production and make it harder to break through the biofilm. And then a last note on the research of how trauma affects the microbiome is I want to look at birth trauma. So birth trauma, difficult birth, C-sections, and lack of breastfeeding can permanently change the microbiome, which then decreases the resilience of these newborns. So the microbiota, again, is the key player in the control of the gut-brain axis. And so when we are traumatized at birth and we have stress if we have a C-section, we have lack of the good bacteria from our mother. And if we're not able to breastfeed, we're also lacking some of that good bacteria. We have long-term modulation of stress and physiology behavior for these babies. So again, going back to when we're traumatized as infants and as young people, it really sets us up into the physiology of stress. We are kind of unfortunately stuck in what I read says it permanently changes. Now, of course, we know that there's the ability to heal because we have neuroplasticity. We can change this, but it makes it a lot harder to treat and heal some of these symptoms if trauma is the root, right? So how do we end the vicious cycle? So again, I have to change this. I apologize. I gotta get rid of these. How do we end this vicious cycle? So if your clients are not getting better, if they're doing everything correctly and they're still not getting resolution, then you might suspect that they have a dysregulated system due to trauma. So we want to keep up with the amazing CMDS protocol. Like, you really do have all of the tools that you need to troubleshoot with this program. Specifically, there's a lot of great tools on helping to support the vagus nerve. Okay, so we can talk about that if you have questions around that. You have the resources available to teach you how to stimulate and support the vagus nerve. So we want to keep up with this protocol. But what we need to do is go a little bit deeper. We want to build resilience in the autonomic nervous system. So we call it the autonomic nervous system poise, which I mentioned before, which is our ability to shift back and forth when we need the sympathetic response and when we need to shift into the parasympathetic response. We want to be able to move through these systems gracefully. And how do we do that? Well, if there's unresolved trauma in the system, it's really, really hard to have autonomic nervous system poise because we're wired into the stress response. We're stuck there. And to get unstuck is uncomfortable. It's very, very uncomfortable because we have to actually allow the stuck trauma to show up into the surface. The way this looks in the nervous system is we're stuck at freeze, or we're moving between freeze and sympathetic hot symptoms. We're moving between hot and cold. We have to have the ability with a therapist or a support person to move back up the ladder. We have to move back into the sympathetic response and get into that sympathetic response long enough for it to complete its natural charge and discharge system. And then we can move back into the social engagement system where healing happens. Okay. So what we want to do is teach the client to be aware of where they're at. We can teach the client how to be mindful of what's happening in their system. We can give them some stress management techniques. So if the trauma shows up at the surface at an inappropriate time or a time where they're not able to really look at it or resolve it, they need to have stress management techniques. But stress management is very different than trauma resolution. Okay, stress management helps us get through the moment. Trauma resolution is moving it out of the system and getting it out of the way. One of my favorite stress management and healing systems is using heart rate variability. And I know you've heard of this from Dr. Rita Marie. HeartMath gives us some great tips on how to utilize heart rate variability and some techniques to help us get into coherence and bring us back into the present moment. So those are some techniques that you already know of that you can support your clients with. Another great tip in supporting this autonomic nervous system poise, and this could be a whole nother webinar, but supporting the endocannabinoid system. I believe, Dr. Rita Marie, you recently had somebody and did a call on this with somebody, but CBD oil is a really amazing tool to help with this ability to shift in and out of the sympathetic parasympathetic system. So there's a lot of tools and techniques that we can access to help the client learn about their system, to help them become more aware of what's happening in their nervous system if they are experiencing the freeze or the overwhelm, or if they're in that hot symptom of anxiety and sympathetic response. Then we can use things like heart math and breathing and yoga and some great tools to help them manage it. But if they're not getting better, if you're not seeing resolution of their gut problems, then it could be that there's unresolved trauma. And we want to work on how do we unstick the trauma that's stuck in the body. And I believe that we need to go through the body, not just talk therapy, but we want to go through the body because trauma is in our nervous system. It lives in our nervous system. And talk therapy often is not enough because we need to address the actual body where the trauma is living. So I've listed some different therapies here that you might explore. There's a lot of them, and it's helpful if you have somebody that's been trained in understanding what trauma is and somebody that can help the client learn to identify if they possibly have some unresolved trauma in their system. And these are some things, if you don't know how to do them yourself, you can find somebody or you can recommend that they find a somatic or body-based therapy to help them move the energy of the trauma out of their system. Okay, so there's EFT. You guys have probably heard of that. That's tapping technique. There's somatic experiencing. That's done by Peter Levine, who was one of the first scientists, first doctors to really talk about trauma living in the body. There's EMDR. There's TRE, which is tension and trauma release exercises. I'm certified in two trauma-based somatic trauma therapies called trauma dynamics and trauma touch therapy. And there's a few other body-based hands-on treatments like Feldenkrais, polarity therapy, and craniosacral therapy. And of course, there's transpersonal energy healing, which is now offered as a certification program with Dr. Rita Marie and Laura Fine. And I find that to be incredibly helpful to give clients some tools to have a better understanding of what's happening in their system. Okay. I am going to stop my share now and just move back here. Done with those slides. And again, the transpersonal energy healing is going to be a really wonderful tool for you to be able to identify potential unresolved trauma in your client's system and give you some tools to help the client move through the stuckness of the trauma or the stress in their body. So again, I want to point to, we want to continue with the great protocol that you are learning with the CMDS. We don't want to stop that, but if you're not getting resolution, I invite you to look at the possibility that the client is still holding some of this unresolved trauma in their system and think about what ways could you support your client. If you don't have any training in this area, then that list of therapies is a good start for you. And of course, looking into getting some more training yourself so that you can help your clients on this deeper level. Okay.
Awesome. That was great. I saw a lot of comments earlier, commenting that people were relating. I think you gave people some really nice tools that they can use to, you know, to identify it and really good identification tools, because a lot of times we get so caught up in what's the right probiotic and what's the right enzyme and, you know, how to get them well on these physical levels that we forget about that. So it's a great reminder. I put the link to, hopefully that's the right link to the transpersonal energy. I think that's the one that has the description of it. So
yeah,
it is. Okay, good. Yeah. So you can read all about that. That's something that, I was so impressed with the work that Kimberly and Lynn and some of the others that had been through Laura's program were doing, that I started talking to her about it. And then she invited me to go to one of her classes, and I went to the class and I was like, whoa, I was blown away. And then we just started chit-chatting about it. And she, you know, didn't want to have to manage it anymore. She wanted to have it as part of something else. And we talked about it. I said this would be a great adjunct to all the people in our programs. And so if you're interested in learning more about it and how you can get started, there's like little jumps in, baby steps in, and there's big jumps in. So go to that link and you can read about it. And if you have any questions about it, I think there's a link up there with Laura's email to ask questions about, or you can reach out to any of us. So do we have any questions? Susan says, this is fantastic info that connects more dots and very timely. And there's Lynn.
I have a question / pondering thought that I've had. With the digestive system, you know, likening it to the trauma and everything, especially with something like leaky gut, where there's that idea we've lost our boundaries, right? Because we've become a host. Mm. And I'm curious what you think about that.
So the fact that trauma can permanently change our sense of boundaries. Absolutely. So a lot of it has to do with developmental trauma and attachment trauma. So again, I want to refer back to the transpersonal energy healing. If people are really interested in looking at this, we talk about the different stages of development of the human nervous system and how we might find, or how we find a strategy to deal with stress and trauma based on our skill level at that time, at that developmental stage. So the earlier the trauma, and it could be even in vitro. If your mother, when you were in her womb, had trauma, you were encoded in a way of managing trauma with the skills that you had at that time. And we often then, because of this trauma at an early age, don't learn healthy boundaries, especially if the people that are our caregivers are part of the stress and trauma. Then we don't have healthy boundaries energetically or internally. And so often then we see this barrier issue, right? I don't have an emotional barrier. I don't have a physical barrier. I let people harm me emotionally. I let them harm me physically. And I don't have an intestinal barrier anymore either. And so it really is helpful to understand that unfortunately most of us walking the planet are dealing with the developmental trauma, not big event trauma, right? Especially us in this beautiful, lovely Western society that we live in. How lucky are we that we don't have bombs going off in our neighborhood on a regular basis, right? We don't have gang rape happening everywhere. We do have trauma. I know many members of our community are affected by the shooting in California a couple days ago, right? That we do. I lived in Columbine. I know what that trauma is like, but generally speaking, the majority of our clients are going to present to us with this developmental or attachment trauma. And the transpersonal energy course is a really great way to get some tools to help you with that. That's a long answer for a short question on boundaries, Lynn. I hope that was useful.
No, it was a great answer. And the other thing to keep in mind, though, is we all tend to just make light of those mild development. Like, look, I didn't get raped. I didn't get beat by my father. I didn't have any of this stuff happen. Who am I to have been impacted by this? And we make light of it. And our patients and our clients are going to do the same. They may, you know, fill out the ACEs. I know my parents were happy. They didn't get divorced. But it's some subtle little thing that was not provided at a developmental age when it was needed. Or some message that as a young baby child, we picked up from our parents, which wasn't even really intentional by them. It was just them not knowing better ways to communicate or show love. And then we pick this up and we imprint it in the nervous system. And then we have these behaviors later. But again, like you said, it's affecting all of our boundaries. And I love making that connection with the boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up, Rita Marie. We often discount our own pain and trauma because we have it better than other people. And that does not promote for healing. That does not allow healing to happen in the body. So it really is important for yourself and your clients to honor the truth of their experience.
Yes.
But we're often denying the truth of our experience. We're resisting it. And that resistance is often going to show up as a physical or mental dis-ease.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because we're not honoring it. And I want to really be clear on the honoring it thing, because by honoring it, we don't mean wallowing in it. We don't mean using it as an excuse for everything wrong that happens in our life. Oh, well, that's because, you know, at three, I was whatever, left to cry for 2 hours when nobody was there because my sister had been rushed off to the emergency room. That happened to me, actually. But, you know, things like that, that are little in the scope of things, we don't always also go back and use it as an excuse. So when we say to address it, it means learn to say, oh, there I go again in that behavior that's as a result of that. What can I do in the moment to help shift myself? So learning those tools.
So important. And if I could, what that reminds me of is the importance of understanding that there's a natural charge and discharge cycle that our hormonal system needs to complete. And we often stop it. Mm-hmm. We don't allow ourselves to finish this natural hormonal cycle. And then we have this unresolved energy or charge from the stress or trauma being held in our system. That's what causes suffering. Physical or emotional suffering. So like Rita Marie said, it's not about being a victim or complaining.
Right.
It's about completing what we didn't get to finish.
Yeah.
That unresolved trauma, to have a safe place to authentically express what we've been suppressing often for years and years and years is so important.
Yes.
It's so important. So again, like you said, it's not about being a victim or complaining, but it is about allowing yourself to finish what you didn't get to finish. You were charged up at some point from a stress or trauma or an overwhelm, and you were in the healing process was interrupted.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that because we suppress it down, and it stays. But here's the other thing that you just said, something that triggered me to think, what we do with people we love and what we do as even practitioners in a client relationship is we try to soothe people when those things come up. But we're really, the way we tend to try to soothe them tends to be we try to shut them up. I mean, I'm just going to be perfectly blunt. Here's a tissue. We'll let them cry. Oh, well, let me hug you. Let them, you know, you can sit there with them. You can be compassionate with them. You can help them to discharge it versus giving the message, what you're experiencing now and the way you're experiencing it is not okay. Here, wipe your eyes. Let me hug you to make you stop. And I think that's where we get into trouble a lot. Parents can do that all the time. It's a natural thing. We don't want to see people hurting, but we also have to keep in mind that the only way to get it out is to get it out. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's where I love about these techniques, which teach you ways to compassionately be with people and help them to discharge it. They don't feel like they're all alone, but they also don't feel like you're trying to shut them up.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Because we don't want to take away their experience.
Right.
Like you just said, we don't want to take away their experience because that's their way to enlightenment. That's their way to back to themselves, back to their source. And often because we love them and we don't want to see them suffering, we stop. We do this with little children. We interrupt their natural cycle of the charge and the discharge to get back to calm. We calm them or we try and soothe them before they're ready.
Right.
They need to have the time and the space to express and release.
Yes. Yes. That's what I love about this work. Let me see what other questions have come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danielle says she calls her state functional freeze because she looks fine, but she's inside. She's totally frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see. Lynn Rose said, want the replay. You'll get the replay. Mary Lynn said, thank you, Kimberly. Your work is helping me to dig deeper into trauma. I'll look further into your resources. Have to go. Let's see. Thanks for sharing. How about the trauma of traumatizing other as a job? Ooh, I'm not sure I understand that one, Lynn Rose. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, I'll read Drina's. Drina said, this is timely for me. I'm just starting to work with a woman who was molested at age 5 and never told anyone. She's carried fears and the burn in her whole life alone. She's having serious digestive stagnation and out of balance microbes. Thank you.
Awesome. Right. Well, first of all, just being a safe place for her to verbalize and share, disclose what happened to her. And that speaks a lot to what a beautiful healer you are, Drina, that she felt safe enough to disclose this to you. If you need support, you can reach out to me. I do work with some other nutritional therapists that find this, if this trauma shows up and you don't know what to do, please reach out to me. I'm merely happy to give you some support and ideas on how to get through this, because that's a very complicated topic. Yes. But
And Drina lives in Colorado, too.
What's that?
Drina lives in Colorado, too.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Oh, hi, Drina. I know Drina. Yeah, she took me to the airport from Dr. Rita Marie's house after Shine 1 year. Hi. I would love to chat with you. If you want to reach out to me, I'd love to help you with this client. Okay. But again, I think it says so much about you that she felt safe enough to disclose this big secret. Okay. Right. That's beautiful. But now what to do with it, right? Well, transpersonal energy healing will give you a lot of tools to help you with that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And in general, how can people reach you? What's the best way for people to learn more about you?
You can email me, and that's really simple. It's kim@kimberlyannward.com.
Okay.
And I believe it's listed there in my email, in my presentation.
It might be, yeah.
Okay. kim@kimberlyannward.com.
Beautiful. Thank
and
you.
And any of you that have questions about a client that's come up that you need support with, please email me. I'd love to offer you some support. I always do 30-minute free consultations as well. If you need help with your own trauma and you need some support on that level, we could schedule a 30-minute consultation and I can give you some ideas and we can see if I'm someone that might help you moving forward.
Great. Awesome.
Anything else here?
I tell you that, I'll just tell you, give you an example. I think that this work is so important that as part of our, we have a program, a year-long coaching program for clients called the Energy Recharge Inner Circle. And there's different levels. And, you know, when you're offering programs to clients, you offer different levels where they can financially engage. And at the highest level, the people who have the most serious stuff and need the most support, we're offering they're going to get 3 sessions with Kimberly. As part of their program, because I see that so many of those are the ones that invest at that level are the ones who have that deep-seated stuff that they don't know what it is. They're just like trying and trying and trying everything to get well. And so that's as part of my well-rounded program. I believe in this work so much. Let's see, great presentation. And thank you for me to putting it together. You're welcome. And the discounting from Lynn, let's see, Danielle, just having a mom is emotionally not present is traumatic to an infant. Oh God, that's totally one of those cycles. I mean, in the transpersonal energy, we're learning about these different 5 patterns of coping that people develop. And yes, depending on that stuff and absolutely not getting that emotional present mom is huge, huge. I don't remember which of those patterns it comes out as, but.
And when we don't get everything that we need during our different developmental stages, part of our job as an adult is to go back and give ourselves what we didn't get. And we can get that from other practitioners, from friends, from family members, from other people. But as adults now, we are in charge of going back and getting what we didn't get, right? So it is true that if we don't have what we need or don't get what we need from our parents, then we're missing things.
Yes.
And it's really hard to feel whole when we're missing things. So now as an adult though, I want to encourage you that it is totally possible to go back and fill in the gaps that you didn't get from your parents, right? Yes. We can learn to give them to ourselves. We can learn to ask for them from our therapist and our friends and our community. Okay. You can fill in those gaps and feel whole.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. One of the classes we're doing with Laura right now is called Dancing with Defenses. And we're going through all those different stages where the breakdown happens. And then what can you do as an adult to help yourself through it first and then help your clients through it? It's been really enlightening. What advice do you give for clients that have permanent disabilities or conditions from trauma, such as physical disabilities that can't be fixed, thus causing recurrent stress in the body?
That's a great question. And my question is always, what is currently alive in your system? So if they have some trauma or stress that's still active in their system from the past, then we want to address that. But not every trauma or problem from your past is going to be alive in your body, right? So what I would do is I would do some work with the client to see if there is a problem from the past or from the disability. And if there is, then I trust that that client's system is going to tell us what we need to know. So it's having the skill of being able to create a safe space with the client. And as therapists and practitioners, that's our job, is to create the safe container. And when they feel safe enough, the information will show up. And I believe that what shows up is needed at that moment. So I trust that's what's coming to the surface for the client is what the client needs to heal. I never know what the problem is. I just can ask the right questions. I can sit and hold space with the client, and I can help the client find their own answer, right? So if they have a physical disability that can't be fixed, maybe it's not a problem. If it is a problem, then I'm going to ask that client's body to give us information. I'm going to teach the client how to learn the language of their own body and get the information that their body is giving them. They just don't know how to listen. I don't know if that answers your question. I hope it does.
Yeah, I think it sounded good to me. It totally. Lynn Rose had asked the question, what about the trauma of having a job that's traumatizing other people? And what she says is that she was an immunization nurse, and she watched kids leave their bodies and be restrained and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, what about that? You know, feeling like she was the one that inflicted that pain on them.
Right. And that can be traumatizing as well, because you are doing something that, although you needed to do it, it was your job, you were feeling their trauma. Right. And so there's a lot to that. That's a complicated thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So what I would do then is see what is still alive in your system regarding that experience. Do you still have some unresolved charge in your body, in your nervous system from that experience? Because you might not, but you might. And if you do, then the transpersonal energy work is a great way for you to, and all of the somatic therapies, right? It's a great way for you to explore it, be curious about it, and create a safe place to allow it to get resolved out of your system. So you might have an emotion around it that feels sad, but you also might have a charge that's still in the system that's inhibiting your own health. And so that's what I would ask. Is it still alive in you, or is it just kind of a fond or a sad memory?
I was just having a similar conversation with my husband about this kind of thing, because of, there's certain things that have happened that there's still a charge for me. And there's certain other things that were actually more traumatic that don't. And so it's really, for me, it's thinking about, what do I have to do to release, you know, some anger towards a person that worked for me that screwed up, versus towards a prior partner that did some bad things, you know, where I don't have that charge anymore. I probably have worked through it, and this other lesser thing. So that just brings up the whole point. Don't let yourself discount whatever it is you're feeling. What's present about this for me right now? What charge is present for me right now? And then working through ways to let go of that. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, very well said.
So a couple of books that are being recommended. I don't know if you know Larry Heller, Healing Developmental Trauma. That's from Danielle.
Yeah, that's a must read for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Lynn, The Five Personality Patterns by Stephen Kessler.
I think that's the easiest layman's book. Really simple, not necessarily easy, but simple. To understand.
Okay.
It's complicated. It's pretty easy reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so especially when it's pre-verbal, right? Your trauma happened with the absentee mom happened pre-verbal, so you don't have words from then. You're kind of having to go with what's the feeling and what are the words to put on it now.
Yeah. It's really the ability to be able to tune in and become aware of what's happening, what's still alive in my system, how is it affecting me, what am I doing with it, right? Like, these are things that we often don't learn as children. And it's really useful to have some kind of system to follow so that you can have kind of a safe container when you're with a client, which is another reason I love the transpersonal energy healing, because it gives us a nice safe container to be in. Mm-hmm. So when stuff shows up, you have some tools in your toolbox. Now, if a client does present with a trauma that's being exposed in the moment, if trauma shows up and you're not sure what to do, there's three really simple things, step process that you can take them through, because you want to bring them back into the present moment. Mm-hmm. Trauma is always about the past event, mm-hmm. right? It's still alive in their system. And if it's being brought to the surface during a session with you, then what you can do is have them stop, stomp their feet. They can tap, help them get back into their body in the present moment, stare, look around, find one spot and look at it and really have them look at you in the eye, whether you're with them in person or remember the social engagement part. We can stimulate that calming effect by looking at them with a soft face and using a nice tone in your voice, but they need to orient back into the present moment. So stop, stomp and stare. Is a kind of a three-step thing you can do with a client. If this trauma is showing up to the surface and you're not sure what to do, you bring them back to the present moment. Okay. The trauma's the past. They're slipping back into the past. You orientate them back to the present moment and you can engage their social engagement system by seeing them, have them look at you. So stop, stomp and stare and smile. Smile is another S there that you can use. So that's a real easy technique. If you're feeling overwhelmed and it's not appropriate for you to address their trauma in the moment, then stop and stare, orient back to the present moment and refer them to somebody that can help them go deeper into that process when it's appropriate.
That's great. Stop, stomp and stare. I forgot about that one. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Heather brings up a good point, and it also brings up something for me when she asked this. As a foster parent, I'm finding the kids' trauma bumps into my stuff, and I feel stuck in being able to help them. And the other question that brings up for me is, as parents of, you know, we already have grown kids, it's different, but as parents, as you're starting out with kids, whether you're pregnant or contemplating or have young ones, I was just thinking that reading a book like that, The Five Personality Types, could be very helpful in helping you to be present in all those different areas and prevent yourself from the more overt of those behaviors or feelings that might trigger it. On the other hand, what I was thinking as I said it was that a lot of times it's not that the parent is a bad parent or did something wrong. It was just how it was perceived by the child. So you have any comments about that?
Yeah. Right, exactly. It is about perception. And what you can do, though, as a parent is teach resilience. We can support our children in having better resilience with teaching them how to reflect upon their own sense of self, being able to refer to themselves, what's happening within me. Mm-hmm. We can teach our kids to have a better sense of understanding of what's happening to them, and we can feed them well and keep their vagus nerve healthy and give them a healthy immune system, exposing them to dirt and all of those things that you already know how to do, right? We want to teach them resiliency. So even though life is going to happen, stress is going to happen.
Exactly.
We can teach them how to manage the stress better.
Okay. I need to go off to another call. And I'm going to leave this to Lynn to close up and answer any closing questions.
Okay.
Change Lynn to be the host.
And I actually have a call myself, but I will do my best here real quickly.
Yeah, just close it up real quickly. This person's going to keep calling me if I don't.
Yes, no, I understand. Right. You have an important call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Dr. Rita Marie. Thank you.
So much for being here, and thank you, everybody, for participating.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Danielle says, if there's still a charge, look for the pain that is most likely pushing up the trigger. Those are the body's invitation to heal something that is buried. Paula wants to know, curious, what other supplements you've found useful in calming for the central nervous system, similar to Impact found utilizing the ECS with CBDs?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've had a lot of success with rhodiola. That's one of my favorite herbs for calming stress in the system. But I have found that CBD oil is by far the most potent, profound substance that I have personally used. So I don't know if anybody else has some tips, but I really do like, and I look for one I like the liposomal form because I find that it's just more efficient and effective in getting into the system. So you could Google liposomal CBD oils. That's my experience, is that people have a quicker, more effective response if it can get into the system. CBD is one of those things that's very expensive and very hard to absorb. So things like glutathione and CBD that are hard to absorb, if you can find a liposomal form, you're going to have much more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I think.
So anybody with any more questions, please feel free to email me. I'm so happy to answer your questions. If you have clients that you need support with, please let me know. There's lots of great therapists out there that have more experience with trauma. And it's important, if you feel like you can't support your client, to get somebody else that can help them with it. And if you want to go deeper, look into the transpersonal energy healing certification, because that will give you tools.
Yep.
All right.
And if you have any questions about that, feel free to talk to Kimberly, myself. I know Mary Lynn has done it. There's a few of us within our NEPT community who have taken part of it. I think Alma is another one who's gone through. So we are here because we have a great work to do. So
yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for staying on and listening to me chat away.
You'll chat away often. All right. Well, everyone enjoy the... Yeah, Andrina says CBD is a great tool. So everybody enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will see you, I think, Thursday is another call.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks so much.